We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, happy Thanksgiving. And as Americans around the country prepare to celebrate this wonderful holiday that is part of our, of course, our American founding, our American history, and also, you know, part of what we should be doing as Christians anyway, which is to give thanks to the Lord, because as Psalm 196 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. We should be giving thanks to the Lord for all of the blessings of liberty that we do not deserve, but have so richly been the beneficiaries of, and especially in this time in the post-election 2024 and heading into 2025. It's a good time always at kind of the end of the year and in the beginning of a new year to reflect on the goodness of the Lord. And hopefully as Christians, we can see what we would call in theology progressive sanctification, that we look and act more like Christ today than we did a year ago or 10 years ago, that we've grown in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that reflects in our Christian life. So joining me now to discuss all of this is Pastor Alan Mashburn, one of our favorites here on the Jenna Ellis in the Morning, and he is a pastor, author, and activist, and formerly ran for lieutenant governor out of the great state of North Carolina. So, Pastor Alan, happy Thanksgiving, and how should Christians look at this particular holiday in the sense of giving thanks to the Lord for all he's done?
Well, I don't know of any nation in the world that owes more to God in Thanksgiving than America, for many reasons, but we've just come off of a very, very difficult year, politically heated, and we were nearly on the verge of communism, and Trump is not our savior, of course, but we voted for his policies. But you know, we're a blessed people just in general. But the next 4 years, I believe, is a reprieve, is a bit of grace, a space of time that we have to seek the Lord's face, and I don't think we realize how important that is. Thanksgiving this year is paramount to the Christian life, and not to do so literally defines of Romans 3:23 of falling short of the glory of God. We owe him everything.
That is so true and so well said. And, you know, even for those who may be listening to this and they're saying, well, you know, my life hasn't been great over the last year, or they're going through, you know, whether it's financial struggles in their family, with a marriage, with kids, you know, whatever it is, relationships in general, we are still told in the midst of everything to give thanks to the Lord and to understand that he does work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, and also that we aren't guaranteed an easy life or a life without difficulties and struggle because of the problem of sin. And what we are giving thanks for primarily, Alan Mashburn, is, as you well know as a pastor, is ultimately for the gift of salvation, that we look forward with patient expectation to the return of Christ, and until he returns or calls us home, we will continue to persist in thanking the Lord for that gift of salvation, because it's only only through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, and through salvation that we have hope at all.
Absolutely. And I think many times more than others, we as Americans, when we think of thankfulness, we think of just what I said of the things that we have been blessed with. We immediately focus on material things, or you know, whether I've been blessed financially. I'm more focused right now in this stage of my life. I really haven't divulged a lot of information. This past year, I've been diagnosed with liver failure, facing a treatment, and I'm just really thankful for life. I was not given a great outlook, and my treatments have seemed to be working, and we have prayed. So we have to really understand what we have from God is not always measured in materialism, not always measured in what we're looking at and comparing ourselves with others. It's measured in life. It's measured in the ability to get up and function, the ability to provide for our families. And we cannot forget that. So many times in this country, because we've been so blessed, we gauge things the wrong way. We have to look at it in the vivid focus of how easily life changes overnight.
That is so true, and I so appreciate you sharing your personal story, and we will be praying for you and for a full recovery of Pastor Alan Mashburn. And you're absolutely right that, you know, events like that can shape our perspective and help us recognize what a wonderful gift life itself is, and time with our family, with our loved ones. And we shouldn't take any moments for granted. And as long as we are here on this earth, we are living and breathing, and we can and should give thanks to the Lord for life, and to recognize that we aren't put here just so that we can enjoy all of the blessings of liberty, but so that we can serve the Lord wherever it is that we are called to. And, you know, I have recognized that in my own life as well. Over the last several years, I mean, regular listeners and even the haters, of course, you know, we always welcome you as well. And we're thankful for you on Thanksgiving as well, because we get to pray for you. But everyone recognizes as well, you know, at least from a headline perspective, some of the things that I've gone through as well, you know, with facing two indictments, with, you know, facing the power of government, you know, coming at me, and even the lies that people have believed or told about me without understanding, you know, that I've simply stood for truth. And there's so much even that people don't know about my personal story and things that I've walked through in the last 4 years, and even beyond that, that really, you know, maybe at some point in time in the future, I'll be able to share. But really, the bottom line in saying that is that I have grown so much in my faith and trust in the Lord, because when you are put in a situation where you literally have no control, and it is just a matter of trusting that the Lord will see you through, that creates such a different opportunity to trust the Lord than certainly anything else that I've gone through in my life. And it really has strengthened my faith. And one of the consequences of that has been that I have more fully given my trust in the Lord, and have not cared about what other people say, and have truly the fear of the Lord instead of fear of man. And that's a good thing overall. And so, you know, again, it just goes to say that God can use all things, even what others intend for evil, God can use for good, if we recognize truth, we walk in truth, and we are committed in our ways to acknowledging Him. And the Bible even says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps, and some versions say establish your steps. And I love that, Pastor Alan, because God truly does establish our steps. And as you well know, in the situation you're going through, one day to the next is sometimes what it takes to walk by faith and not by sight. And that is something truly to be thankful for.
You're exactly right. And I'll tell you, I've had to rearrange my schedule. I've had to cancel appointments. I've had to cancel interviews or whatever, because of my day-to-day. And I want to say personally my thankfulness for you. You really helped me and encouraged me and picked me up as a candidate for lieutenant governor. And I'm thankful for you. I don't have a clue or imagine what you've been through, but I've done my best to tell everyone that Jenna Ellis is a woman that I really trust and love, and you know, God can use all of that. We don't see the back workings of what He's doing. We certainly don't see we don't see the back workings of what's going on in each one of our lives, but everything I've seen of you personifies Christ, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that, and that means so much to me, especially that you would say that publicly, as well as the many times that you've told me just privately in our personal friendship that you're praying for me, and you have truly supported me throughout this whole process, and I know so many of our AFR listeners as well. I am so thankful for all of you for the notes of encouragement and support, and also financial contributions. I mean, honestly, without that and without the prayers and financial support of me over the last couple of years as all of this has been going on, it would have been even more devastating. So I want to also publicly say thank you so much to you, Pastor Allen, and to everyone listening who, whether you're part of the AFR family or you're just listening, online and all of that, for your prayers and your very public support. I'm just so grateful to have the body of Christ. And that really is part of what Thanksgiving and thankfulness to the Lord is all about, because we see how much the church and God's people can be His hands and feet when we're going through something, whether it's, as public as mine was, or whether it's as, as private as some of what you've been describing, Pastor Allen, has been to you as well. And that's where the body of Christ really does shine through so much more than anyone on earth, is when we know that Christians come through and support each and every one of their fellow Christians, when it's time in need. And, we've just gone through the campaign for Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child, and my church was part of that, and just seeing, how many people are willing to come and donate to children that they'll never meet, that they may never even know, miles and miles away across the world, and simply share the love of Christ and the truth. It's just such a wonderful thing, and it's because we have that hope of Christ that we can continue to walk and be so thankful. So for people who are maybe, in the midst of their challenges, I mean, that was me, at this time last year. I mean, I was still, facing a lot of uncertainty and all of those things. And I can just personally say it was a moment by moment choice to trust the Lord and to give thanks, even in the midst of everything that was going on, but give thanks for what I was trusting and what I knew would be the fulfillment of God's promises. And what would you as a pastor encourage for people who are currently walking through their own difficulties to have the trust and hope in the promises of God?
Well, I'd bring up a couple of things, specifically speaking of believers, relating to what you just said. You know, others are going through trials and tribulations and challenges. And, stop focusing so much on ourselves and start praying for them and start being interested in them and praying intercessory prayers on their behalf. Too many times we just focus in our own little world, and we forget that people are going through things. Never, ever abandon a true friendship, never, and unless there's something there that, of course, you have to violates a conviction of the Word of God, but that's another story. But secondly, I would say, Paul said in Philippians 3:20 that our citizenship is in heaven. Stay focused. Stay focused. We're on a journey here. We're pilgrims passing through. We need to be salt and light in our atmosphere, in our environment, rather, but stay focused. We are going to be in glory one day, and we're going to be with Him eternally. And so all things down here do work out for good, to bring him glory and for our good. So just, you know, I would remind everyone, just stay focused. And I'm reminding myself, because I have not attained or achieved anything in life that I'm above that or below or above anyone. But, yeah, stay focused, because this life compared to eternity is going to be vanishing in a moment. And we're going to look back and we're going to see some things that God was teaching us. And I'm sure we'll see some regret. But most of all, just remind ourselves that we're citizens of heaven. We're marching through this world. We do have duties. We do have a job. But don't be so hard on yourself that you forget that there is a better day coming.
And what wise words and truthful encouragement. And it is so true that no matter what we face in life today, a pastor I heard many years ago, and I've never forgotten this, said that for the Christian, whatever we endure in this life is the absolute worst it's ever going to get, because we have hope of being with him in glory forever for eternity. And for those who don't know Christ, as much as, you know, they may be a billionaire like Elon Musk, or they may have, you know, they may think they have it all together, as much as they have that is good in this life, however good their life is, that is as good as it will ever get, because they don't have the hope of spending eternity in the presence of the Lord. And what a contrast that is. And if we think about that scale of, you know, as good as the pleasures or the comforts of this life may be, nothing can ever compare to the glory that is set before us. And that's why as Christians, no matter what we face, even for, you know, the early Christian martyrs who literally went to their death proclaiming the truth of the gospel of Christ, they had the hope and the joy of Christ because they knew that eternity matters so much more and our struggles in this world pale in comparison. I mean, this is why we can still have joy, we can have hope, and we can truly give thanks to the Lord this week and in this moment of thanksgiving to the Lord for all he has done, regardless of our circumstances. What an amazing eternal perspective, Alan Mashburn. And I just hope that for everyone who is listening, to truly take that to heart. And if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will take this moment to truly understand what it is that he has done for you, and hopefully get engaged in a church. And if you want to reach us here at AFR, we would love to pray with you and to encourage you and to share the wonderful hope that we have in Christ. And so, Alan, how are you spending Thanksgiving with your family? And just some closing thoughts for reflections on this season.
Well, all of our family live very close by, so we will just be converging upon my wife's family's home, and my mother is still with us. My dad is in heaven, but we'll just be getting together here locally with everyone and shooting texts to those like you and everyone abroad, wishing everyone happy Thanksgiving that we can't see. And I would say with that to everyone, happy Thanksgiving, and, you know, just take some time of reflection and thank God for what you have, and thank God for your health and your strength, and never forget that those are the very most important things that you have in life.
Amen and amen to that. And I'm so grateful for my family, for my extended family, and wonderful friends like you, Pastor Alan. And that's one of my favorite things about the Thanksgiving holiday, and also Christmas, and, you know, Easter, and some of these moments that we sit back and celebrate the truth of the gospel of Christ, give thanks, is to hear from friends all across the country. I always wake up on Thanksgiving morning and Christmas morning, and these special days that we set aside side to celebrate the truth and togetherness. I'm hearing from all of my friends from, you know, around the country and sometimes around the world, and just having, you know, that wonderful moment of saying, you know, look at all the amazing people that God has put into my life. So I'm very thankful for you, Alan, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone who is listening and part of our AFR family. And we'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Could the fate of America's children be tied to the fate of our nation itself? Much like the abortionists who end the lives of the unborn, the left is determined to undermine the pro-life movement. First, they target the babies. Then, they come for the rest of us. Preborn stands as a beacon of hope for the most defenseless among us, preborn babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescue, on average, over 200 babies while surrounding expectant mothers with God's love and offering a free ultrasound. Rescuing the miracle of life has never been more crucial as we navigate this time of moral decline in our nation. Will you join Preborn in protecting the least among us? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and give a mother the chance to choose life, not only for her baby, but for herself. An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. Preborn.com/AFR.
Speaking truth with love. This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Welcome back. And as we were talking about Thanksgiving and giving thanks to the Lord for all of the wonderful blessings that we have been given and we still enjoy in this great nation, all of the blessings of liberty, a Yale psychiatrist calls it, quote unquote, essential for liberals to cut off Trump voting loved ones during the holidays. Yes, they are so absolutely triggered by the fact that Trump won. They're actually suggesting that you shouldn't even get together with your family if you are Trump voting loved ones. So it's completely fine to not be around Trump voters and to tell them why. This Yale University chief psychiatry resident, Dr. Amanda Calhoun, told MSNBC, utterly ridiculous. And joining me now to discuss why this is so ridiculous is Emily Sturge, who is a campus reform correspondent. And Emily, you know, I don't know about you, but I think that this is only coming from the left. I mean, conservatives for a long time have had to put up with so many leftists in our lives. I mean, I can think of friends of mine. Thankfully, most of my family is conservative. But, you know, friends of mine who are more than willing to talk about their leftist views, their liberal views, their, you know, abortion policies and all that. But if I talk about my own policies and my faith, then all of a sudden, oh, well, I just can't handle that. That's too toxic. I can't have that in my life. And they're triggered. So there seems to be this double standard.
There absolutely is a double standard here. And thank you so much for having me. This story about this Yale psychiatrist suggesting that leftists ditch the holidays with their family members who voted for Donald Trump, that's just part of the left's war on American tradition and family values. The left has created this very divisive nature where they turn celebrations into platforms for their radical agenda. And unfortunately, as I'm reporting this story, I see that members of Generation Z are buying into this nonsense. Some members of Generation Z are saying that they're ditching their families over the holidays, over politics. Like I said, this is very divisive. This is very dangerous. And it's a very damaging message for that will drive families apart.
Yeah. And that's, it's so unfortunate that anyone would buy into this. And so, you know, what kind of response have you seen that you were mentioning from Gen Z voters? I mean, in what way are they openly saying that they're buying into this?
I've seen members of Generation Z post on social media saying that they'd rather spend the holiday alone than with their family members, which is very concerning to me, but I'm not surprised. I see members of Generation Z rather stay on their college campuses than go home for Thanksgiving. They'd rather stay in their predominantly liberal spaces than go home to spaces where their family members who maybe voted for Donald Trump have different opinions than them. And members of Gen Z, some of them just don't want to confront those different opinions. But I'm not surprised by this. because this is exactly what's being taught on college campuses. This is how the higher education system has taught students to view conservatives. For example, a professor at Morgan State University likened Trump to Hitler. And we report these stories at Campus Reform of these outrageous messages that professors spew to students about conservatives. When professors are comparing Trump supporters to Hitler or Trump to Hitler, it makes sense why liberal students wouldn't want to go home and go have turkey with their relatives who supported Donald Trump, who now they think are their Nazi relatives.
Yeah, and this is so frustrating and utterly absurd as well, that, you know, these college campuses are teaching the younger generation that they should prioritize, you know, just staying on campus or even Friendsgiving. I know that's become kind of a popular trend among young people to say, well, let's just get around our friends who we agree with and the quote unquote family we choose, you know, rather than understanding that God placed you in a family and those are the people that you are related to and you don't have a choice in the matter. I mean, I didn't have a choice of my parents and, you know, my brothers, and to value your family instead of just your friends that are your same age group. And when did it become this whole notion that you can't be around anyone that you disagree with, and that politics or political drama is to be avoided over meaningful relationships with your actual family?
You're absolutely right in the fact that many members of Gen Z are prioritizing Friendsgiving events where they can surround themselves with their liberal friends who think just like them in places where they won't have to confront different opinions. They'd rather celebrate the holiday in an echo chamber than be around their own family members. And this highlights exactly what the higher education system is teaching Generation Z, and that's if you don't agree with something or if it makes you uncomfortable, just absolutely cut it out of your life in the name of mental health. And of course, this is creating a very weak mentality. It's breeding a generation that can't handle real social interactions or even confront people who think differently than them. I think this is the absolutely wrong message for my generation. I think Gen Z needs to be pushed out of their predominantly liberal safe spaces and face opinions that differ than their own. I think my generation should engage with the world, engage with their family members. Thanksgiving is a uniquely American holiday where it's a great time to spend with your family. And the holiday is about unity and gratitude, but the left has completely hijacked this holiday and made it all about oppression and guilt and grievance.
Yeah, and they're trying to, of course, rewrite all of American history, and the left and all of these liberals on campuses would rather, you know, celebrate the 1619 Project and all of these other manufactured types of America's founding then actually go back to the history and talk about, you know, the good and the bad and where we have come from, why we have the blessings of liberty, all of this history that they're not teaching in colleges. And so for, you know, maybe the parent or the grandparent or, you know, the aunt or uncle or even, you know, brother or sister that's listening that maybe has a one of these Gen Z relatives who's saying, you know, we're not going to come home for Thanksgiving, or they do come home but they don't want to talk about politics, what would you encourage them, or how would you encourage them to respond to this?
I encourage a message of love and gratitude and embracing opinions that are different than your own and listening out, listening to everybody's perspectives and having productive conversations. And I think that's something that my generation is really missing out on, is having those productive conversations. At the Leadership Institute's Campus Reform, we have reported countless stories of, like you were saying, the left changing the narrative and erasing the traditions and American history around Thanksgiving. We have some great examples, like at the University of Buffalo, they recently hosted an event about decolonizing Thanksgiving. The University of Oregon held a workshop that taught students that Thanksgiving is a celebration of ongoing genocide against Native Americans. And these examples push a narrative of oppression, and they push the left narrative that we can't be proud of American history and that we should be shameful. But I think Americans should be proud to celebrate Thanksgiving. We should be able to enjoy this time, and we should reclaim this narrative that we are proud of our history instead of being shameful of it like the left is trying to have us be.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is, again, one of those things when the left tries to just shut down conservatives and say, oh, you know, you can't talk about those things because your viewpoints trigger me, or, you know, whatever the snowflake nonsense is, they are more than willing to speak their views and to actually demand not only tolerance of their opinions, but open embrace a lot of times. And yet when conservatives speak up and just simply say, I disagree and here's my viewpoint, then they can't handle it. And so, you know, it's one of those things that that is so frustrating that I think conservatives need to understand it is okay to stand up and say, you know, that this is my viewpoint and here's why, and engage in a, of course, you know, respectful dialogue. You don't have to get into a shouting match over Thanksgiving turkey, but you can certainly say, you know, that this is a place that it's okay for us to share a difference of opinion. And while a lot of people, Emily, are saying, you know, hey, there are a couple things that you never want to talk about around the family table, you know, which the two key ones are politics and religion. It's like, well, if you're not talking about that, then are you even impacting the culture? And how are parents showing their children how to engage in these types of conversations and the things that are actually meaningful to our culture? I mean, I remember as a kid, we've always sat around the table and discussed mostly faith, theology, and politics. And that has been a good thing, of course, for my family and extended family. And yet we have, you know, somehow this notion that with our friends and family, we should avoid those two topics that I think are essential to a foundation of society that actually understands where we're at as a culture.
Engaging in those conversations, I believe, are extremely healthy to families, extremely healthy to society. And you used to hear this notion of families saying no politics at the table, but now with this advice from this leftist psychiatrist, she's just saying no family gatherings at all. It's no longer you can't touch certain topics. It's that some family members are outright ditching the holiday, which is very divisive. It's driving families apart. And it's specifically encouraging young people to isolate themselves and no longer confront opinions that are different than their own. But it's very sad to see that some families can no longer have these productive and engaging conversations that you and I remember having with our families over the holiday. And it's sad to watch as leftists can't just sit back and enjoy time with their families. A holiday meal is no longer to them about togetherness. This dinner of delicious turkey and pie is just another battleground in their endless culture war.
Yeah, that is so sad and frustrating that that a lot of these Gen Zers are choosing to make the holidays, as you said, kind of a battleground instead of recognizing this as a time of meaningful family engagement. I mean, for some families, the holidays are really the only time that you see each other. And is that really what you want to do with these holidays, is either just choose to not go spend it with your family, or to make it more of an argument rather than a time of, you know, recognizing that one of God's greatest gifts to us is our family. And even if you have different perspectives on things, and even if the conversation can be, you know, disagreeing at times, it's still better to try to foster those relationships with your God-given family. And so I would encourage anyone who's listening who maybe, you know, doesn't want to go home because of some of those divisive issues, you only have so much time with your family, and it really is important. But Emily, in the last 2 minutes I have with you, there was, you know, one other piece as well, speaking of college campuses, to cope with the election, some colleges and universities, of course, liberal ones across the country, are having coloring sessions, puppy therapies, and safe spaces. You know, this just seems like yet another way, even if it's not around the Thanksgiving table, to coddle students who can't deal with maybe the rest of America, and over 50% of America having a different view than they do.
We reported this at the Leadership Institute Campus Reform, and you're exactly right. We saw this trend of colleges coddling college students as a result of Donald Trump winning the election. Harvard and Princeton, they canceled classes Georgetown offered students milk and cookies. And these sort of initiatives certainly aren't creating a productive generation. It's not helping students, preparing them for the workforce or preparing them for society. And these initiatives, milk and cookies and even Legos and yoga classes, they sound like they belong in a kindergarten classroom. They don't sound like college curriculum that is preparing students for society.
Right. And then you have these college students that then they get out into the workforce and they're suddenly demanding the same kind of safe spaces from their employers. And some employers are actually providing this, which I think is utterly ridiculous. It's like, go out and have a job and actually be productive. Don't expect your employer to act, you know, like these universities that are coddling students.
It's not productive in the workforce, and we know that because we've seen the rise of DEI initiatives since the year around 2020, and now we're seeing the fall of DEI initiatives in the companies, major companies like Ford Motors or Microsoft, rolling back these DEI initiatives because they're not productive among the workforce, they're not productive in society, and these companies actually end up losing a lot of money in the process.
Yeah, so well said. Well, Emily Sturge, thanks so much for joining. She's a campus reform correspondent, and I really hope that President Trump and his transition team really do excise all of the DEI as much as they can out of the federal government, but that our culture also excises it out of our Thanksgiving tables and our college campuses. But we'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Speaking truth with love. This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Welcome back. And if you and your family are looking for some good family-friendly entertainment during Thanksgiving and you actually want to use that time to be more educated on making a difference in the culture and even learning a little bit of history, there is a new AFR documentary out that is called The Culture Warrior, and it is all about the life and legacy of our founder, Don Wildman. And here to discuss this amazing film is M.D. Perkins, who is the director of The Culture Warrior. So, MD, happy Thanksgiving, and tell us more about this exciting new documentary.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you. This is the documentary about Don Wildman and the battle for decency. That's the subtitle we gave to it. And the whole idea is that this is about the fight and the many culture war battles that Don was engaged in throughout his time at AFA and his earthly ministry here on this earth. And so, you know, we go all the way back to 1976 and a night that he sits down to watch TV with his family. And, of course, it's just the three network TV stations at that point. And then there's a scene of violence. There's a scene of sexuality. There's a scene of profanity. And Don is struck by this and has the TV turned off by his children and kind of just sits there and considers what has happened to this country in the time that he has grown up, and just how not just a problem with, you know, sex and violence and profanity on TV, but I think he was also struck by his own complacency in the midst of it, how he had just kind of grown accustomed to this. He'd been a little bothered, but kind of thinking, well, I can just not watch that show, or I can, turn this off when this program comes on. But then to kind of be overwhelmed by the reality of what was happening on TV at that point, and deciding from that point forward that he was going to do something about it, that he wasn't just going to sit there with his own personal conviction, but he was going to get involved and call other people to action. You know, Don is a fascinating guy where he isn't just satisfied to have a personal conviction. He wants to write a press release and start to get other people talking about the issue. And so that's the story that we're tracing here in the documentary Culture Warrior, because we're talking about Don in the early days of what began as the National Federation for Decency. That was AFA's original name when we started, and then it changed in 1988 and is now called American Family Association to this day. But we chart the fight against TV, issues of secular humanism in society, the pornography proliferation that was starting to take point take part in the 80s, the pornographic and blasphemous art that was being, government funded through the National Endowment for the Arts, the Last Temptation of Christ movie, and the huge impact that that was stirring up within Christians who were offended at this movie being released in Hollywood, the homosexual agenda, and all these other issues that have been part of AFA's culture war fights now almost 50 years.
Yeah, and I am truly thankful for some of these pioneers, you know, in the 60s and 70s that saw the beginnings of the sexual revolution and decided to take a stand. And we are still fighting that culture battle today. And it is so important to get engaged. And I'm so grateful specifically for Don Wildman, of course, because, mm-hmm. you know, without his ministry, I wouldn't have the platform and the opportunity to fight in the culture in the way that I can with AFA Action and with American Family Radio that I do. And this is truly, to me, a calling. It is the work of the Lord that I'm so blessed to get up every day and to participate in. And so, you know, we at AFA headquarters in Tupelo have, you know, the Center for Cultural Transformation. Mm-hmm. And that is truly what he founded this ministry to be. And we need to continue to walk faithfully in light of the examples that Don Wildman and others, as the Bible describes, the great cloud of witnesses that have come before and have shown us how to engage and why to engage. And so this movie can be streamed and you can watch it actually for free at culturewarrior.movie.
Yeah.
And so for people who maybe want to watch this with their families, would you encourage parents to, you know, maybe sit down with their kids and say, you know, listen, this is the history of what we've been fighting here in America.
Yeah. And I would also say, you know, maybe a little older children, because there are, like I mentioned, you know, some of the history that we're covering here. In order to explain the context, we have to talk about things that are unsavory and exposing the darkness for what it is. So, you know, maybe pre-screen it ahead of if you have really young children or kind of in the 8 to 12 range. But, you know, 13 and up, you know, I think should be able to handle the material here. Of course, we're not trying to accost families with the darkness, but you do have to show it for what it is. But going to culturewarrior.movie, there's a very brief registration that you'll give, name, email address, and then you'll be able to watch it for free through that website. So culturewarrior.movie. But Jenna, you used the word calling earlier, and I think that is a perfect description of Don and his purpose, because he was someone who did feel that he was called, and he frequently talked about this. He talks about it in the documentary, the idea that if he could do something else, he would. But he knew that God had convicted him, had given him the drive and the ability to pursue these issues in the culture. And it wasn't always a happy time. You know, when you're exposing the works of darkness, you are incurring the wrath of the demonic realm, spiritual warfare, the hatred and bitterness of people over these issues, because we know that once you start dealing with social issues of abortion, of pornography, of homosexuality, I mean, the level of pushback and resistance that you get is straight up demonic. I mean, there's so much that is happening here. And that's one of the big messages I hope that people get across from this movie, is the concept that the culture war is spiritual warfare. And so there is a spiritual component to the culture war battles that we take on. That this isn't just about us trying to make a more comfortable country for us to live in, or a more comfortable society where we're not embarrassed to go outside and watch something on TV, or, you know, read this in the newspaper or whatever. It really is about loving our neighbors, trying to present the truth for what it is, trying to stand for righteousness, because we know that this is impacting people who are locked in bondage to their own sin and their own evil desires and things like that. And that has trickle down effect for Christians in society as well.
So well said, MD Perkins. And you're absolutely right. And I mean, I've experienced that in my own life with this calling. I mean, the utter just hatred for it's really not for me, but for the truth right. that I speak, because ultimately it is a hatred and a demonic hatred for God himself. And so we as ambassadors for his truth, then you know, we are the messengers, so to speak, and so we are the recipients yeah. of that. And it's been fascinating to me just in my own ministry to see how the that no matter what else, you know, I stand for, whether it's, you know, a politician or even when I was, you know, working for then President Trump, who will soon be president again, mm-hmm. Trump, and all, you know, the hatred from the left, nothing has been more intense than the hatred that I get when I'm standing from and promoting the truth of the gospel of mm. Christ. And, but that is where, you know, my pastor has admonished when we're talking about Thanksgiving, to pray for peace in our own lives as well, and to say, you know, there are ways that we can pray through all of that while still standing firm on ministry, but to pray for peace in our own lives. And so, you know, what has really for you as you've been working on this project to tell the story of Don Wildman through this documentary, mm-hmm. Culture Warrior? What was maybe something that you learned as a takeaway from how he dealt with all of the spiritual side of it and the battle that rages?
Yeah, for Don, I think he was uniquely gifted in that he had a willingness to speak up, and so there was a boldness there, and there was a fearlessness, and just an unwillingness to be fazed by the assaults of others. And that was really striking to me. You know, I wrote a book called Dangerous Affirmation, The Threat of Gay Christianity, a couple of years back. And when you wade into that issue of homosexuality, and especially homosexuality in the church, you learn real quick who your friends are and who is actually on the same page with you on these things, and just how much hostility surrounds that issue in particular. And so going through that, you know, I feel like I really got to experience from my side of research and praying through putting together a document and then the, you know, releasing that to the world. I got to experience in a small form something that Don experienced, and just remembering that this world is not our home. And the fact that when we stand for truth and righteousness, we're doing so because God has called us to do it. And so there's one famous quote that gets repeated a lot here at AFA that Don would say frequently, and it is that God has not called us to be successful, he's called us to be faithful. And that isn't just mm-hmm. a slogan or a motto that you know, we put on a bumper sticker or something. It's something that Don really lived by, because he really realized that the battle— ultimately, you were, when you stand up and you speak out, that you were just acting because you were prompted by the Holy Spirit and the movement of God upon you to do that. And ultimately, the battle belongs to him. And so with that, we can take confidence. We don't have to feel like it's all up to our own efforts. It's all up to our own scheming. We do the best we can with what God has given to us, and we trust the results to him. And so really, when I think about Don and what it means for him to stand up and to shine light on these issues, I always have to come back to that quote, you know, that God has not called us to be successful. He's called us to be faithful. And so when we find success, we recognize that comes from God. But even if we don't win a particular culture war battle, we recognize that's in the Lord's hands too, for his own good purposes in it. And that doesn't make our stand any less valid. And it doesn't mean that there wasn't an impact by it, because, you know, when you stand up and you speak for truth, there are all sorts of, you know, invisible impacts that are happening there that you don't get to see. And you may not know this side of heaven, you know, the way that you actually set somebody on a different path, or call somebody to think differently, or even call somebody to begin to question, you know, where they stand before God and a potential gospel implication there. And so there's all kinds of things that we don't see because, you know, we aren't God, we aren't omniscient, we can't read people's hearts, but, you know, kind of trusting the success to the Lord, and we just try and stand faithfully where he's called us.
Amen. And so well put. And I'm reminded of the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, who didn't win a single convert in his ministry.
That's
and,
right.
You know, so by the world standards, he wouldn't have been successful as one of the Lord's chosen. But God called him faithful because he did every day what the Lord called him to do. And this is why we don't measure success or our ministry in the world's terms. And we shouldn't. We should always measure it in terms of our faithfulness to what the Lord has called us to do. So this is the movie Culture Warrior. It's a great documentary. Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. I'd encourage you to watch it, you know, this Thanksgiving, and to really take heart in terms of how you can engage and you can be a part of this, as M.D. Perkins has expressed that Don Wildman has been part of the culture battles. And so this can be found at culturewarrior.movie. And so M.D. Perkins, thanks so much. And that's all the time that we have. But definitely go to culturewarrior.movie and have a wonderful Thanksgiving with you and yours. And make sure that you are focused truly on thankfulness to the Lord in this season. We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.